Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We're so glad you're with us this morning. Is everybody ready to worship this morning? Is everybody ready to worship this morning? All right, let's stand up. We're going to start by singing Happy Day.
Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Sell it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive.
Let's get around and welcome each other this morning.
Calvary Baptist Church. Today, We have the spaghetti dinner at noon to 3 o'clock, and it benefits kids camp.
There are teaching opportunities in Sunday morning, primary class, and toddler Sunday school class. Please see Heather Williams for details. Prayer at the Cross, July 29th at 6 p.m. Join us as we pray together with area churches for outreach in the city of Uniontown. Also, Mega Sports Camp is this week, and there is no Vacation Bible School, but there is also Kids Camp. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Let's all stand up together this morning and continue with our worship. Lift up our voices in song. God, we pray that you would receive this as an offering. Lord, we know that there are people here this morning that have come with a heavy heart. They've been battling the darkness of this world all week long. Maybe it's crept into their home or their job or even into their own heart, Lord. and they're feeling defeated this morning, God, and they need to know that there is a mighty God in this world and in this universe that is interested in intervening in their heart and in their life, and that you are bringing your kingdom even to this place, Lord, through your church, and that you want us to be a part of that, God. I pray this morning that you would touch each heart and that you would receive our praise in Jesus' name.
Heart adore you.
here I am to say that you are right now. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. And upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Lift it up. No greater love have I ever. is extravagant. Friendship is so intimate. I find I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place.
Bibles this morning to Psalm 145. And if he's your God, if he's your friend, this psalm asks you to make his works known to all the world. The psalmist proclaims that the works that God can do and what he is and who he is. That's what we should do. If he is your friend, if he's your God. I'm going to read the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses and on the last verse, if you will, please. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that bow down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And Father God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, this was just an incredible psalm of your works and your mercy and your love, how you take care of those that know you. Lord, let us not forget who you are and to proclaim your name and to proclaim your works to all the world, Lord, not only inside this church to those that are believers, but to outside these doors, Lord, that others might come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do ask that you bring our unsaved loved ones to know your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. Lord, do that quickly, Lord, because we feel that it's imminent, that your return is very near, Lord. You said you're coming back, and Lord, the signs of the time show that you are coming back. They're all coming true, Lord. So we ask you to bring our unsaved loved ones to come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. Work in their heart, Lord, and change their hearts. Lord, we also pray for Cindy Black, that's going to have surgery on Friday, Lord. We just put everything, all those that are caring for her, the surgeons and everybody, we put their hands in your hands, Lord, so that everything will be done perfectly and she will come through the operation with flying colors. Lord, we also pray for Jarrett and Becky that are in Mexico on a missions trip, Lord. We ask you to use them, use their testimony, Lord, and their hands and their abilities, Lord. Use them just to the max, Lord, so that they're totally exhausted when they come back and need to come back for a rest. But Lord, we ask you to use them totally. Lord, for Chris Sorensen, Z's dad, that's not doing well today, Lord, we ask you to bring him back to strength, Lord. Give him a good day. Lord, for those that are preparing the spaghetti dinner this afternoon to raise money for kids' camps, Lord, we ask you to give them a blessing. Lord, we ask you to raise that money more than we even think, Lord, to help the kids so that they can have summer camps this year that really change their lives. Lord, also for Paul and Marianne Minor that are looking for a house to rent in Uniontown, Lord, we ask you to open doors so that they can get a home that will suit their family and will be within their budget, Lord. And Lord, we just trust you for that. Lord, also we ask that just be with us today as we hear your word, as we hear the message spoken about you and because of you, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We just ask you to change our hearts so that we can be more like your Son, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
All right. Well, I know just in case there are any children in here, you may be dismissed to your classroom. There's Lazarus. Where are you, Lazarus? This is Lazarus' last day. He and his family are moving back to Pittsburgh. So, Lazarus, we're going to miss you, buddy, and your sisters. And, you know, just come back and see us, okay? All right. Okay, we had a great week this week in summer food program. And we've had about 50 kids each day. Also, next week is going to be the Mega Sports Camp. Kind of looking forward to that. So we're not going to be having the summer food program next week during the afternoons, but we will have them in the evening. with the Mega Sports Camp. So if you're interested in that, please come and join in. And this spaghetti dinner, the people are helping out and whatever, they're going to, it's going to benefit those kids that can't afford to pay for the sports camp because it is $25 for that. So, well, welcome back to you vacationers. And I guess there was some good news over the, am I allowed to say? Okay. Yes? No? Bill and Rebecca were engaged over the week while they were at the shore. So, you know, that's going to be awesome because, you know, they're going to make an awesome ministry team because I think that's based why you're actually coming together for the first, you know, to begin with, and you both are very much involved in ministry, and that's why you're going to school, and I can see them somewhere in the world ministering, so I'm glad for you, happy for you, and we'll be praying for you too. The other announcement I wanted to say, because it was just a quick blurb on the announcements, there's no Vacation Bible School this year. Don't get panicked because we do have the Mega Sports Camp this coming week. We also have basically Vacation Bible School all week long, all summer long because of the summer food program because we have activities every day for them. And we have all the resources that we're expending during the course of the summer, and it was just another week that we just didn't want to expend any more resources that we're already using. So we did not, we're not going to do the Vacation Bible School. However, we are going to do Kids Camp. So there's a lot of activities going on here. Hey, is this awfully loud, Ron? Or is that just me? No? It's just me? Okay. All right. Well, you can turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we are talking about faith. And last night, I'll tell you what, Pastor Ron's message really got to me. I ended up when we stood up and started the invitation and really started to think about the message that he had given us and that God had given us laid on our hearts. I'll tell you what, man, tears came to my eyes because you know what? And I know this, but it's sometimes as nice as a reminder that God is in control and God, you know, he can, we can't. And if we figure that one out, we're all right, right? Because I, you know, I come up here every Sunday morning or whatever, how many times I come up, and I tell him, God, I can't, but you can. And that's all we have to know. That's all we have to put our faith in. And this whole series, what we're doing on Saturday night and what we're doing on Sunday morning is about faith. Faith. You know, before we read our scripture, it seems though like life is very angry, don't you think? Is our society an angry society? I mean, we even have angry birds, right? My wife, Sue, made Lucas. Lucas wanted a Angry Birds cake. So Sue made an elaborate Angry Bird cake, you know. And I don't know, for those of you who don't play Angry Birds, they're a little, and I don't know why they're mad at those pigs. I don't get it. But there's these little round pigs. They're sitting up on all these structures. And these angry birds, they have a slingshot. And you kind of fire the angry birds over at the pigs. And they explode and knock down their structures and everything. And you get points and stuff like that. But those angry birds, man, they are angry. Right? So is our society. So, I mean, that is just part of it. That, you know, that's part of our society is saying, you know what, I'm going to even make games that reflect how I feel inside. Anger, right? Somebody going to say amen this morning? Holy cow, are you awake? Come on, amen. All right, okay. There are people who will tell you that, you know, let it out. Don't hold it back, right? There are people that'll say, you know what, if you're angry, just let them have it, whatever it is, both barrels, load it up and shoot it. Then there are people who'll say, just, you know, hold it back. I want to hold it back. And the question is, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? James chapter 1, let's look at beginning in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man... Now listen to this. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, for all those that came out this morning to hear your word and to worship you, Father. May you have all the honor and glory for every word that is spoken this morning, for every thought. May you, all the thoughts this morning, be focused on you. Nothing else. Don't allow it to focus on anything else, God, but you and glorifying you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, one of the most difficult things to do in life is to let go and let God, right? You know, just let go and let God. Let him do it all. Let him, you know, lead you and guide you. Let go and let God. But instead, we take life's issues and hold them until we explode, just like those little angry birds. You know, you fire them up and they get so angry and they explode sometimes. And they kill those little innocent pigs. But James has some great advice for us with dealing with life's issues about anger. Now, he begins with, be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. Now, when I worked at UPS, was in management there, when I first joined there, they sent me off to a people's workshop for a whole week. And they taught me how to be a people's person, how to love people. They really did. For a whole week I spent there, and we had a great time. We swam, and they just showed us how they loved us so that we can return and love them. That's a pretty good idea, and that's a secular job, right? That's what we should be doing, right? Showing people love instead of being angry. But anyway, the most important thing, most of it was listening, our listening skills. They taught us how, what to say and things like that. But the most part, the 90% of the whole workshop was our listening skills. What you hear that person saying. Listening skills. The week-long workshop focused on just listening. The focus was on listening because they know most people have a difficult time doing that. James tells us that we need to be swift to hear. We need to develop the ability to be good listeners. Listening does not mean just waiting for your turn to talk. You ever talk to a guy like that or a person like that? You're talking to them, bleeding your heart out and everything, and they're going, and they just can't wait to jump in with their comment. Sue's over there saying, yeah, amen, I'm in that one. But I am too. I do the same thing. Sometimes when somebody's trying to talk to me, I'll want to interject. And I think most of us do that. We want our 2 cents, right? Our 2 cents worth. It's difficult to do that. We need to develop the ability to be good listeners. Listening is an essential skill that we have to all have. It's a very essential skill. It's even more important in the spiritual realm. There are 2 good reasons why listening is an essential spiritual skill. First, because that shows how faith comes. Now listen, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Take a look at verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? People think that faith comes from God's word. But that's not the full story. According to Paul, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, faith comes from our ability to hear what the word of God is telling us, right? A lot of Christians today will say that they don't need to go to church because they can read the word of God for themselves. Romans chapter 10 is primarily talking about the preaching of the word. God puts a very high value on preaching of his word. James says, be swift to hear, both naturally and spiritually. Hearing spiritually brings faith. And the second reason we need to develop the ability to hear spiritually is because of the way God speaks. Now, I want to tell you a little story that you'll find, and I want you to go there later on today, or sometime this week. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19, okay? I want you to go there sometime. Here, what we have here is, this is a very powerful story. We have Elijah. Elijah is just being, he just had a phenomenal thing happen on the mountain where 500 prophets from Baal were all killed, right? Y'all remember that story? Well, that's what happened. He's up there and God licked up all the flames and everything and caused the burn, licked up all the water. Anyway, he runs from Jezebel. Jezebel is after him because of what he just did with her 500 prophets of Baal. So he's hiding in this cave. And he's hiding from Jezebel. And one night, he's in this cave, and Elijah was feeling a bit sorry for himself. So God tells him, go outside the cave. He goes outside the cave, and there's a great wind. A wind that was so powerful that it actually split rocks in the mountains. And I would imagine that Elijah must have looked at the amazing display of power and thought, wow, God must have been in that wind. But it tells us that God was not in that wind. And then a big earthquake came, and probably more rocks were broken and things like that. And Elijah thought, man, God must have been in that big earthquake. He had to be. But it tells us that God was not in the earthquake either. And then there was a great big fire at night. And you can see, last night we were at the ball field, and there was some stuff flying in the air. And they had some kind of bags or something, and they lit, and the bags went up in the air, and it was a spectacular view. That was pretty cool. We didn't really know what it was. We thought they were just embers from a fire. But at nighttime, a fire, man, have you ever gone to a bonfire where there's all kind of fire, and then it's at nighttime, and it just seems a lot more amazing than what it probably is. But guess what? God wasn't in the fire either. But it tells us that Elijah hears a still small voice. That was God speaking. And that's amazing. God wasn't in the mighty wind. God wasn't in the mighty earthquake. God wasn't in the blazing fire. It was a still small voice. That the God of all power, who created heaven and who created earth with his words, has all knowledge and wisdom and power, rules all of eternity. This God speaks in a whisper. In a whisper. Family, he doesn't shout. He doesn't roar. He doesn't speak like what maybe we think he would. A mighty, powerful God. He speaks in a whisper. Guess who roars? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And take a look at verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's who it is. The devil roars to try to intimidate us. But God, who has infinitely more power, he whispers. And in the clamor of life, we have to learn to listen to that still small voice. So be swift to hear, and then be slow to speak. Now, some people think that this means speak like this, and it may take forever to get this message done, right? I don't think that's what James actually meant when he said that. I think it was, has been rightly said, we have one mouth and two ears, and that should give us a fair idea of how God, how much talking we should do compared to hearing, right? Apparently, the average human speaks about 150 to 200 words a minute. Some people I know can speak a little bit more than that. But a person's brain can listen to about 800 words per minute. So it seems that God has designed us in such a way that should encourage us to be slow to speak and to be swift to hear. Amen? Einstein was once asked if he could do a formula for success. And he said that he had a formula for success. Success equals X equals Y plus Z. He said that X stands for work and Y stands for play. He then was asked, well, what does Z stand for? He replied, keeping your mouth shut. That's success. That's not a bad philosophy when you think of how off the mark we are so often are in our speech, right? Sometimes when we talk because we've assumed something. And we shouldn't have, and we talk out of turn, right? And we do that many, many times. It's almost like, you know, sometimes, and I do it the same thing. You know what? I'm just like you. Sometimes I want to go, come on, words come back. I don't want, you know, there are many times that I think I want to swallow those words back. And sometimes I do swallow those words that come back. I was going to take my shoe off and put it in my mouth, but sometimes, you know, on a computer when you're typing it out and you misspell a word or you do something like that, you hit that little arrow that goes back like this and it's an undo button. How many of you would like to have an undo button? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Look to your neighbor and say, I need an undo button for my words. Amen. But you can't do that in life. Instead, God has a solution. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. So one thing about God's word, he always has the solution for it, right? Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Take a look at Proverbs 13, 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Take a look at Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool, now this is a good one. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So in other words, if you're stupid, don't say anything. And nobody will know that you're stupid. You're counted as wise. Chapter 29. Take a look at verse 20. See thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. God wants us to restrain our lips. Shut our mouths. Not be hasty in our words. There was a former mayor of New Jersey, and I guess he had a bit of a reputation for being a loudmouth. And there was a owner of a restaurant, and what he had was he had a picture of the mayor on the window outside of his storefront, and apparently the guy's mouth was open. and it said open 24 hours. You know, one man in the Bible paid with his life because he spoke. In 1 Samuel, you'll remember Saul and David at the end of 1 Samuel. Saul and his son Jonathan were killed, or they were getting killed, all right? Jonathan was already dead. Saul was just about dying, and he didn't want, he says, you know what? He went to his armor bearer, and he says, kill me. And his armor bearer says, no way. I'm not going to kill God's anointed. I'm not going to do that. So Saul falls on his sword and kills himself. If you go to 2 Samuel, the first part, the next chapter, there's a man who runs back to David and says, David, Saul and Jonathan are dead. They were killed. He says, how do you know that? He says, well, I happened along and Saul was wounded and he asked me to kill him. So I killed him. He thought that by doing that, because if you remember, Saul was after David to kill David. He thought, well, you know what? I'm going to probably get all these accolades from David, and he's going to pat me on the back, and he's going to promote me, and all this other garbage. David put him to death right there. David wouldn't even kill King Saul. David wouldn't even kill God's anointed. His armor bearer wouldn't kill God's anointed. This guy thought, oh, I'll just tell David I killed him. And what did that lie get him? Got him killed, executed, right on the spot. It's too bad this man didn't put a little more thought into what he was going to tell David. You know, James is very clear. We need to be slow to speak. In James chapter 4, take a look at it. James chapter 4. And look at verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God is all things, in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm sorry. Go back to 4:11. What did I do? Anyway, speak not evil. James, I'm in the wrong book, folks. All right, go back to James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Speaking of evil of another. The rabbis of old call this the third tongue. It's a strange expression, but it's called that because they believe that it killed the speaker, killed the person spoken to, and killed the person spoken of. You got that? That's what the tongue will do. That's what evil speaking will do. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? When you think about it, Proverbs 18:21 tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Anger, it's a big problem in our world. People talk about anger-driven society. We hear about road rage, substance abuse, violence, suicide attempts, alcohol abuse, all related to anger. The problem is that when you think of anger, it seems so rational. Have you ever been angry with somebody and you get such a flow of irrefutable arguments. Such cutting insights, such clarity of thought. And when you calm down, you think back over the things you said, and you wonder, what was I thinking? There's a good example of that in Esther with King Ahasuerus. He was king of the Medes and Persian, and he was throwing this great big giant party, and it lasted about 6 months, and he decided he was going to call his wife, Queen Vashti, and let her parade her around in front of all her friends, his friends and everything, and she wasn't going to do that because he wanted to make a scene of her, and she didn't appreciate that, so she refused to obey his commands. And it tells us in Esther 1, chapter 1, verse 12, that the king was furious and his anger burned within him. Now, this is not a good time to be making any decisions, right? When you're angry, you don't want to make that kind of decision. So, the king got some bad advice from some counselors, and they basically tell him what to do with her. And the result was that the queen was removed from her status. And now we fast forward to a little bit to Esther chapter 2, verse 1. And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus, say that for me, subsided, when his anger from the king subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had done. His anger subsided, and he remembered what he had done at the height of his anger, but it was too late. The custom was that the king's degree could not be changed. Family, I wonder how many people have, in a moment of anger, done something, said something, made a decision that would affect their entire course of their lives. The anger of man never achieves what God wants to achieve. That's why God wants us to be slow to anger. Another reason is that it reflects his nature. We just read a psalm that said this, but in Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." And that's exactly what we read in Psalm 145 today. Let's look at two ways of dealing with our anger. Understanding. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to wind down here. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Take a look at chapter 19 in Proverbs, verse 11. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." Our prayers need to be that God will make us people of great understanding, especially pray in regards to the people who are closest to us, because they are the ones that we are most likely to hurt first. The old saying goes, we always hurt the ones we love. It's true. We tend to hurt the ones we love more than anyone else, and a lot of times it's our anger that does it. Family, if we grow in understanding, then we will be equipped to control our anger. And then the second one is faith. Do you get angry when you see the news and they talk about the corrupt politics or the criminals that get away with the crimes and on a technicality? Foolish judgments or irresponsible parents? Do you get angry when you see that? It's easy to let those things build up inside to a point where they're let them simmer deep inside. And it's there deep inside we are Our strong desire is to have justice. The answer to this kind of anger is faith. Take a look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." The word fret means to burn with anger, and God says don't do it. Don't concern yourself with what people are getting away with. Don't let yourself get all worked up about it. Ultimately, they won't get away with it. They will be cut down like the grass. In other words, there will be a day of reckoning. But you can only understand this if you have eyes of faith. Faith is very essential. You know, there was a little story here about one of the doctors in World War II that was responsible for about 50,000 people's death. He would operate on them and record it and do some barbaric experiments. And when the war was over, America struck a deal with them and said, "Give us all your documentation, all the records that you had, and we'll forgive you." And he lived a very happy life and died in 1959. And after the war, many of his researchers got top jobs in the business world and in the Japanese government. It would be easy to be angry over something like that. It would be easy to think that they got away with it, but they didn't. One day will be the day of reckoning. And we have faith enough to trust God that he is in control and he will do what is right. Abraham says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Understanding and faith. These are the two qualities we need to develop if we are to deal successfully with anger. So, let me remind you what James tells us. Be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and be slow to wrath. Would you all stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And as the musicians come up and play, I think I want to open the altar this morning and just say, you know what? We have faith in a God, a righteous God, a God who tells us that we need to be slow to speak. He tells us that we need to be swift to hear and slow to anger, slow to wrath. Now, I know that a lot of us deal with some of those issues. I know that we have some of those issues. Sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we speak and we assume. Sometimes we talk about other people that we shouldn't be talking about because we don't have all the facts. We're not in their shoes. So what I want to do is I want to open the altar up and I just want to say, you know what? Do you have faith enough to come down and lay all the woes that you have at the altar at the feet of Jesus and say, "God, you know what? I do have some issues. I do have some problems. I even am weak in faith and I want more faith. I want to be strong in faith. God, I want you to put on my heart what I need to do to strengthen my faith, Lord. I want to hear your word. I want to hear you. I want to hear that small, still small voice.
I'm not looking for a clap of thunder. I'm not looking for this great big boulder to fall and tell me what to do. I just want to be quiet long enough to hear your still small voice. So if you're like that, why don't you come down? If you've been coming here for a while and you've decided that this is the place that you want to worship on a regular basis and you want to be a member or a family member of this body of Christ, why don't you come down, talk to Brother Steve here and say, you know, Steve, how do I become a member of this body of Christ? If you have any other decisions, if God had prodded you today and talked to you about anything, and you just want to come up and communicate with him while Pastor Ron plays a verse of a song.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for your words. And may we hear them. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have really needed to hear these sermons of faith. It's just been fantastic. And whether you're having problems in relationships or your job or just anything, it is reassuring to know that God is in control. And just with our giving, when you give first to God and to have faith that he will take care of you. I've said this before, I've done my finances at the end of the month and I'm shocked at what I see, because I just don't think I'm gonna have that much, but God comes through every time. And it's just awesome to put complete trust and faith in God. I'm learning that with these sermons. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give it all to you. We realize that we cannot do it, but you can. Let us just give all that is bothering us, all of our problems, over to you. Reassure us that you are in control. You are working behind the scenes. You are working in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we will give all the honor and glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and stand up with us. Let's sing that second verse.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake became born. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Take that with you this week. We'll see you back Wednesday. Don't forget, we have a spaghetti dinner immediately following the service, so come on back and have some food with us.